Hello and welcome to our weekly podcast of Who's Here in the Hamptons. I'm Dan Rettina, your host, broadcasting from my home in the Hamptons, where I have lived for over 55 years. I've written a dozen books about this glorious place, and I've seen it grow through the years from small tourist towns, quaint fishing villages, and a summer playground for high society to what it is today, a world-class resort for celebrities, artists, musicians, authors, and billionaires. In my podcast, I will bring you interviews with not only these people, but also prominent local people who have helped shape the Hamptons. Welcome to Dan's Talks. I'm Dan Rettina, the founder of Dan's Papers. My guest today is Jenna Solis, who is the Chief Operating Officer and Program Manager for the Bridgehampton Child Care and Recreational Center. This is a mouthful.
Isn't it?
Sacred property with about 6-7 buildings, tennis courts, games rooms, Sag Harbor Turnpike between Bridgehampton and Sag Harbor. It's been there since 1951, I guess, but mostly it's been developed rapidly recently. What are some of the programs offered? These are for disadvantaged kids.
So, well, first, let me just say thank you for this conversation today. The mission of the center is that it's a community-based institution that serves all underserved children, families from Islip to Montauk. We educate, we empower, and encourage self-sufficiency. The program itself has morphed into something I believe had always been a vision, but it is just morphing into something so much greater. The programming that we have is really to support the needs of the community that we are in Bridgehampton and the surrounding communities. And what that means is that we're listening to the needs of the families and the community members here. Some of the specifics is our after-school programming, which has always thrived. It is my understanding that from the history of the center, after-school programming and summer programming were the fundamentals, the roots of the center. And so right now, we have a license for 109 students. And that has been amazing, seeing as though from the years that I have been there, we had numbers averaging around 40 to maybe 60 participants. We now have a roster of 102. And so that just gives you an idea of how much we've grown in such a short period of time. So our after school programming supports the educational needs of the children, host school, and to support families with understanding their schoolwork. And we really have a hand in ensuring that work gets done and that we meet the needs of the families in that way. We also have our summer program, which is an extension of that, which also opens doors for families from West also. The list goes on. We have college and career opportunities. And so we support our young adults finding their paths to whether it be college or vocational studies. So the list really goes on and on about the supportive services that the center offers. So we have Teach Me How to Fish, which is also for our workforce training and development strategy, which is catered to those who are 18 to 45 that are either looking to transition in career paths or explore opportunities vocationally or within the trades. And so we've been able to offer opportunities from software engineering. There is a newly implemented AI component with all that's happening in the world. We also have a real estate track for those who are interested in that sector. We also have a really great, actually, it's a cohort that's taking place now with Sea Services in partnership with Maritime College, where we have students 18 and up that can participate in a 5-day program to get Sea Certified and actually work on ships for offshore wind opportunities. We have our SAT program, so we work locally with our schools. And I'd be remiss if I didn't talk about our Reading Revival, which is a new campaign that is bringing in the community to hone in on the importance of literacy.
That's wonderful. What are some of the others? There must be a dozen different things. Do you still teach dance?
Yes. So on Monday evenings, it has actually been a great class. And we actually have brought out some folks all the way from Montauk that come and make the trek each week to our dance class, which starts about 5:30 p.m., orchestrated by a phenomenal dancer and fitness trainer. Her name is Dee. She's out of Riverhead, and we have a wonderful time, full of energy, for sure.
What are other things? There's sports, isn't there?
Oh, boy, the sports component. So, yes, we have our sports and education sector, and so we've been focusing on soccer and basketball. And this, again, gives an opportunity for parents not to have to look all over, you know, for these programs. We can support those who are 7 to 13 right on our grounds. And so, again, just a wonderful opportunity to teach sportsmanship. There's a huge safety component in that. Also within our sports and education is our gardening program, which is facilitated by Ella Engel Snow. She is absolutely phenomenal. And it's not just about planting. They're actually preparing their beds in advance of the season. The youth are actually planting all of the crops, all of the seedlings, and they get to watch them grow. In the summertime, it's great because we actually get to see the youth pick the crops. We eat them inside, so they prepare nice meals and it's extremely nutritious. But we really have a good time with the ground that we have, you know, and the youth are learning. And we are definitely the beneficiaries, I say, in terms of the staff, because we get to eat what they grow.
You have a playground for the little kids. You have tennis court.
Tennis court, basketball court. We have our playground for our youth. And so our campus is just extraordinary, and it's growing with all of the new and upcoming projects that we have on the horizon. It's really not only going to serve those who are currently with us, but it's going to serve the community as a whole. And it's been doing that.
You go to other locations to partner with other facilities like the Watermill Center or the Parish Art Museum?
Yes, we have a huge art component of our programming. We've been afforded the opportunity to have an artist in residence, Faith Evans, she's a local. She is from East Hampton, and she is our artist in residence working with the kids on a day-to-day. But those partnerships that you reference are with the Parish Art Museum, the Watermill Center. Our youth have an opportunity to participate in activities at Guild Hall. The Bridgehampton Museum has recently been added. And again, it's all just about the experience and the exposure. We also have many of our partners that actually come to us, including the local libraries as well. So they're great components of our program, and it really is what makes us thrive.
I remember for a while you had homeless people sleeping in one of the buildings.
Yes, that is with the Maureen's Haven. And so it's a program that is still going on. We've actively been in partnership with them for 3 years. It's been a huge success. We utilize our McCall buildings. And so this is after school hours. The clients, they come from Riverhead on a van, and we're able to get the community involved with those initiatives also, because they're preparing food for 30 to 35 participants. They are with us two nights a week, Wednesdays and Sundays. And again, it's just been a great opportunity for community to come together and serve.
I heard you have a Scrabble team.
Yes. Scrabble. So I first have to definitely acknowledge the late Kathy Hummel, who was our longstanding Scrabble coach. She did pass last year. And so this year was the first year that they actually went to Scrabble Nationals without her. We had a team of about 11 students who have been playing for quite some time. And what was recognized this year is, you know, they're maturing, you know, their confidence levels are definitely higher. They're going in, they're fearless, you know, and you're talking about opportunities that they've never, you know, had before. They're competing against some of the top students on a global level, not even within the United States. And so what seems like it could be very intimidating really has just given them a boost of confidence and courage that it's just amazing. And so we continue to push them and encourage them that they can do all things. So yeah, this was a successful year. They just came back about 2 weeks ago.
There's also some of the buildings are available for either businesses like caterers work have been there, or for food preparation, or events where for weddings and things like that?
Yes. So many times, well, especially with the new building that we have, we get a lot of folks that want to share that space with us. And so there are opportunities to rent our multi-purpose space, to utilize our grounds. As you said, we do have our commercial kitchen within our McCall building that has been used for catering services. And it also supports the initiatives that we have ongoing and in-house too, as far as our events. But we want to share the grounds with everyone. Everything from baby showers to weddings to cocktail hours, we're open to it. It's a beautiful space.
And fairs there and events, fundraisers too.
Yes, yes. We've been happy to bring that in-house. We had our Jazz Soul celebration that had been at the Watermill Center for quite some time and some other locations. And so this will be about year 3-4 that we've actually been able to bring it home to the center. And it feels good. The past few years have felt really amazing to have folks come and actually celebrate where the work takes place.
Boy, it's quite something.
Mm-hmm.
How did it all begin? Tell us about how this came to be. This facility, it's 6 acres. There's a full playground for a soccer match.
Yes.
And they play ball or baseball there at all?
We play baseball during our summertime events, but we have a full field there. And you know, the story is as such not too far from here. This is an area that is a migrant area, you know, with the potato farms and folks that came from the South, many from Elizabeth City, North Carolina, Virginia, and they came seeking opportunity, you know, as many still do. And not too far from here, one of the big things was the safety of the children within the area. And there were a few, but this one in particular was a fire where youth did perish. In fact, as a result of not being able to have those safety measures in place and not having their parents all the time to monitor activity.
This was at a farm, right?
Yes. So at that time, this donation of land, you know.
51 was it?
No, about 1951, this donation of land came to be. And I have to say, not because of where it is now, but in that moment in time, being able to have as a parent, as a grandparent, to have a place where you're a safe haven where your child could go, I'm sure was instrumental at that time. And it still is showing itself to be instrumental now. It's just a change of the time. But I want to say with that, just to say that the children and the families that we have the honor and the privilege to work with, these are hardworking, dedicated parents who sometimes entrust us with their children from 3 p.m. to about 7 p.m. at night. And not to mention the time that they're spending within their school buildings. And so that speaks volumes to the work and the service that we do. It also speaks volumes to how the families trust us. So the center grounds continues to be this space of hope, this space of care, this space of compassion for all. And I think that's the highlight and how everything comes full circle.
There's a plan to build an indoor pool.
Yes. Yes. Indoor gym and pool. And so that particular project, you know, when you look at things, this is not just a building to build. There's a lot of thought that goes into it and understanding where the needs lie. And that's with all of our facilities. We're always examining where the needs lie. There are a lot of Black and brown children that, unfortunately, although you would think with tons of beaches surrounding us, that don't know how to swim. And unfortunately, you know, there are so many opportunities, whether it be lifeguard opportunities that many can't take on. You know, many of our teenagers and their summer youth programming, they can't do because they don't have the ability to swim. And so we instantly thought about, one, swim safety being a top priority for the pool. The gym, of course, we want to encourage fitness. We want to encourage communal spaces where people can come together and work out. We think about, as you said, hosting events, what that gym is going to allow us access to invite people. This is basketball town. So we have one of the greatest teams right up the road here. How wonderful would it be if they had a space where they could practice and sharpen those skills as they've done historically? The center, that's where many of the ball players got their start, on the courts outside. And so we just want to expand that. We want to have a place that is affordable for the community to come and work out. You know, have that quality time with your spouse before work starts, you know, grab a latte and get a workout in. We want to afford that. But more so, it's about the youth and being able to, again, enhance their skills and opportunity and swim safety. That is the utmost importance right now for us. And so having that will also support our services that we currently have in place, like our summer programming. Right now, we are blessed to utilize the Hayground School. They allow us to use their facilities, but we'd love to bring it home.
Tell us about summer camp. Where does it assemble and where are some of the projects?
Yes, so the summer camp is actually operated by Shanae Pritchard. She is our summer camp director. She is phenomenal, and a lot of energy goes into the program. It is open to both our after-school families as well as our community members. And again, with those numbers, we were averaging somewhere around 75, I would say, to about 85 participants. We're now seeing, you know, the 100s and the 101s, and it's just amazing on what it has become. But again, it's an expansion of the services that we're already providing year round.
So are the things that the kids do at the camp?
Yeah, their arts and crafts. So again, we have our artists in residence. We also have other artists from the area that are teaching them quilting. With the reading initiative, we've actually paired a lot of the works that the children are doing with literature. And so they're still getting tutoring. There is a huge summer bridge component because we don't want academically youth to fall off in that way. And so we have programs like IXL that support their math retention. We also have programs within IXL that can support ELA and their reading. And so this is important for families because it's not just about the fun. It's about them learning and being on track for the next grade level. But again, they're going on cultural trips, museums, plays. They're going to water parks. They're going to team building activities at Jones Beach where they're ziplining. And it's just a summer full of goodness.
It's a very special place.
It is. It is.
How did you get involved in it? Where were you raised?
Yes. So I am a Brooklyn native, and I came about the center in 2018. So prior to my endeavors here, I worked in corporate America, corporate real estate, to be more specific, in New York for about 18 years. What I would do in my spare time, though, is I would spend a lot of time as a youth mentor. And so I worked within the Department of Education at various high schools within Borham Hill, within Queens, going in and speaking to their youth on a weekly basis, just ensuring that they were okay, that they understood who they were and what their overall mission was as a youth or young adult. And so in 2018, I actually participated in an iTribe mentorship day. And at that event is where our executive director, Bonnie Cannon, and we spoke and we exchanged information. And she said, you know, before you leave here, I want you to stop by the center. And I drove into the parking lot and I stood not too far from where my office is now. And it felt as though I was on sacred ground. And I knew without a shadow of a doubt, I needed to be a part of this mission in some way. I didn't know how, but I knew I needed to be a part of it. And so about 6 months later, I got a phone call as Bonnie was seeking a teen coordinator. And so I would make the journey about 2 to 3 times a month to come and support the efforts of the Dream Team program. And that's an acronym for dedication, responsibility, education, attitude, and motivation. And at the time, it was about a group of 8 to 10 teenagers. And they were excited, and we would go on trips and college tours and all that good stuff. And now it has grown, and we're supporting youth within our Bridgehampton School District as well as our Southampton School District, averaging about 70-plus students now. And so the opportunity was one that it was for me. And through the years, you know, the responsibilities grew. I wanted to understand exactly, as I said earlier, what the needs of our community were. And so I've been afforded opportunities to converse and to speak with yourself and Bonnie and board members to truly understand what that vision looks like. And the opportunity to oversee operations and programming came my way, and I gladly accepted.
Have you moved out here from Brooklyn?
Yes. So I am here now with my now 13-year-old daughter. We moved out here about almost 5 years ago. September will be 5 years. And so I'm enjoying it. I still have my home in Brooklyn, so I'm able to go back and forth when I just need a little city life. But for the most part, I'm here and I'm loving the community.
Nice talking to you. And we've learned a lot about this place. In the case, do you invite people to stop by?
Yes, don't drive by, stop by. That is our motto. And I encourage everyone to do so. We are doing wonderful things at the center, and it is a pillar of this community. We're not just an after-school program. We are a full resource center, and we have something for everyone. So hopefully this will encourage you not to drive by, but to stop by.
I'll see you there.
See you there. Thank you.
Bye-bye.